Hear the words from Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. Ho, all who are thirsty, come for water, even if you have no money. Come, buy food and eat, buy food without money, wine and milk without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, your earnings for what does not satisfy? Give heed to me, and you shall eat choice food and enjoy the richest vineyards. Incline your ear and come to me. Hearken, and you shall be revived. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, the enduring loyalty promised to David. As I made him leader of peoples, a prince and commander of peoples, so you shall summon a nation you did not know, and a nation that did not know you shall come running to you. For the sake of the eternal, your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. And from Matthew 14, 13 through 21, from the Common English Bible. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves and of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As many of you know, this last week, from Friday through Wednesday, I was traveling to or present at the General Assembly of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. As you're probably aware, and if not, here's some news, our church is a part of both the United Methodist Church and Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Every 2 years, and starting after 2025, every 3 years, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ meets. What this looks like is lots of worship opportunities, workshops of all sorts, a few of which I took part in was Peace in a Militarized World, Confronting Christian Nationalism, and Good News for Exhausted Churches, among many others. There is also business that we as a denomination decide on, and connecting with friends who I have not seen in some time. About 4 years since we missed the last General Assembly due to COVID. Often General Assembly for me is a time to connect, rest, and be rejuvenated. There is work, but it's also a time for rest, which can be work as well. This General Assembly, I did not get a chance to do that as much as I would have enjoyed. In great part due to presenting an emergency resolution in support of transgender and gender diverse people, I did have some concept of what I was getting myself into, but perhaps not entirely. I am curious if you've felt that way before, that you were going somewhere expecting to have a chance to rest, and instead you were faced with large crowds, eager to hear what you might have to say, or perhaps not even large crowds, but just a couple individuals who really desperately need your support. The good news is that even when faced with crowds, even when faced with those who need us, there is grace for us to take time, take bread, to take wine, to celebrate, sometimes not on our own, and sometimes in the midst of things, because there is enough. Our two scriptures may seem very different, but they hold some things that are very related. In Isaiah, the call is to a broken and exiled people to pay attention, gather, feast, and then feast on the word. And in Matthew, again, to a broken people who are oppressed in other ways, are gathering again, and after feasting on the word, have the opportunity to feast. In both situations, there is enough. There is enough for those who are broken. There is enough for those who are oppressed. There is enough for those who hunger. There is enough. Isaiah's call is just that. It is a call, it is a beckoning, it is a proclamation for people to pay attention. And in the words of Rashi, it is an invitation to gather people, bringing people who are broken together. Isaiah is inviting people to come and gather, to take the necessary things for a feast and a festival, and to celebrate. Those who have money and those who don't. Everybody is welcome because there is enough. Not just enough food, wine, and milk, but there is enough of Torah to be shared. The theology is broad enough. The wisdom is wide enough. There is enough. Lady Wisdom, the feminine personification of the wisdom of the holy, is loving and available enough for everyone. For everyone's cup to be filled and for there to be joy that abounds. Yes, there is enough here. There is also need here. There is need in this community that Isaiah is speaking to. And Isaiah speaks to our community as well, and every community everywhere that has need. The people have nothing, and yet, they are united in one purpose. Rather than monetary payments, they are asked to be in covenantal relationship. A relationship that is defined by helping the Holy One create the kingdom, the family of God on earth, while being given all those good things by the Holy to be in full participation, not just showing up once in a while, not just doing things half-heartedly, but doing things with their full selves, with all that they have. They are also asked to expect joy. And there's something powerful that happens when we expect joy. When we expect joy, we create joy. Joy isn't something that just shows up randomly. We have to actively work at it. We have to actively create it. It has to become a part of us. We can do these things. We can have that joy. We can have that relationship as a community because there is enough. When we do that, when we have that joyful relationship with the Savior, then others see it and want to be part of it, either as our community or as their own. It's how the crowds come and gather when we celebrate there being enough. Now, Jesus is not happy when he sees the crowds. He's been needing that rest. He's been needing that time for relaxation. He needs to take a nap. He needs sacred rest. And yet here are the people and they need him. Not only do the crowds need him, but he finds that he needs them. Surprisingly, he finds the rest and relaxation, the filling of his cup, the good news and grace in that community of questioners, seekers, and revolutionaries. Right there, he finds what he needs. How do we find that? That while it may be tiring to be around others from time to time, we also find that with people who need us because we need them just as much. Church, there have been times when I'm tired, when I'm worn out, when I'm feeling done for the day, and then someone needs help. Someone needs their cup filled, and I have felt like mine is just near empty. Yet, someone needs help with something, and in those times when I have felt like I didn't have much else to give, I have felt my cup filled by that phone call, or that visit, or being able to answer that need. Why? Because there is enough. I'm reminded of when I was a child and I had a friend over. I would always be very sad when they had to go home. And I would often try to encourage my parents to let me have just a little bit more time with my friend. And I'd say, well, let's just have them over for dinner. Let's keep them for dinner. There's a certain community, a certain sacredness that is created when we eat together. This was not just something I felt as a child, but as I would get older, I'd have many more opportunities for this. When I was in seminary, some of our professors would have us over for dinner, and we'd discuss the topics at hand, and that would create a beautiful kind of community. So when the disciples come to Jesus like overworked, tired, and let's be honest, hungry TAs, saying, hey, Jesus, you're over time. You need to send them home. My first image was Jesus asking for more time, but really, it's more appropriate to think of Jesus as the professor who has invited the students to come and eat and create community. The disciples who are so often the foil for Jesus are not just rebuked here, but rather contradicted. There's not enough, the disciples say, and Jesus responds with, yes, there is. So the disciples go and try to get food for the people, and they come back with just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish, and scratching their heads and saying, what are we supposed to do with this? Often we get in that mindset as well. We think there is too little, or we get things we don't know how to use, or we just wonder, what are we supposed to do with this? And the answer is to embrace it with joy. I know I've certainly received things and wondered, what am I supposed to do with this? And the answer is not always apparent. I don't always have the presence of mind to celebrate the communion that is being offered. But if we do try to embrace that mentality, the take, less, break, and give, then we can give it to all the world, or at least to those around us. Because there is enough. Whether we are an oppressed people, or whether we are an exiled people, or whether we're both, No matter whether we think there isn't enough or that we just don't have what it takes, we are called into relationship with one another. We are called to be community. We are beckoned and gathered and celebrated because each of you, each and every one of you, individually and collectively, are loved and are enough. We have enough. This community is enough. So because there is enough, expect joy. Expect miracles. Expect wonder. And celebrate. Amen.